Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. The World of Outlaws closed their season with the World Finals as all dirt roads lead to Charlotte. Fort Worth, Texas is the source of some fireworks and some silenced firepower. And do tandem short track events draw more fans, or do they split the fans? All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, November the 6th, 2017, from the dark shores of Lake Norman in Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Now, from the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is with us until the top of the hour. Fresh from trick-or-treating with Eli last week. I think he's still on a sugar high as well as a grandpa high, but good for him for pushing the buttons and keeping us online. First Speedway Report of the new time change format, as we all hopefully swapped our clocks over this past weekend. Now it is dark. I don't know what time it is anymore, but this is part of the year where I enjoy the holidays and then count down to spring. Let's jump ahead to the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap, as we still got a bunch of series running around the country. We're going to tell you who won what and where. The big NASCAR weekend was down in Fort Worth, Texas. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Tour ran 500 miles yesterday afternoon. Kevin Harvick was your winner. He locks himself a spot into the championship four down at Homestead, Miami. Martin Truex Jr. also clinched a spot by having a healthy enough point lead. So one spot remains as we head to Phoenix this coming weekend. The Xfinity cars raced Saturday in Fort Worth. Eric Jones was your winner there, giving him a sweep of the Texas events for the tour this season. And Johnny Sauter won Friday night in the trucks, putting a period on the point that, you know, experience always beats youth and enthusiasm. But I digress and I contradict myself, as NASCAR's K&N Pro Series West Tour concluded out in Bakersfield, California, where a couple of teenagers were the stars out there. Derek Krause won the race for his first ever win. Yeah, still in his teens. And Todd Gilliland clinched the 2017 series title. I think the two of them, their ages together, I'm still older. Neither one of them are, you know, together. They're still not as old as I am. Good times right there, but the sport is in good hands with these young guys. Now, around here, my neck of the woods, over the weekend, we had an extremely big weekend on the dirt track at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. The World of Outlaws World Finals were here technically in Concord, North Carolina. The World of Outlaw late models, sprint cars, as well as the dirt big block modifieds. Let's begin with the late models. Their Friday night feature race was won by Brandon Shepard. On Saturday night, Dennis Erb Jr. was the winner, but Shepard is the series champion for the World of Outlaw late models. In the sprint cars, Friday night's feature was won by Donnie Schatz. That is his 20th win of the calendar year. Saturday night, the A-Main winner was David Gravel. Schatz is the series champion for the 9th time in his career. With the Big Block Modifieds, Friday night's feature was won by Matt Williamson, and Saturday taken by Matt Shepard. Shepard was the series champ as he narrowly edged out Billy Decker for the title. USAC sprints were out west. They'll finish out their year, basically USAC, on the west coast in Santan Valley, Arizona. Chase Stockin won the sprint car race there over the weekend. And the North-South Shootout was here in Concord, North Carolina, on the half-mile pavement just down the road in Concord. The Pass Super Late Model 125-lap headliner was taken by Matt Craig. And we've got the pavement modifieds. It ran 125 laps. Gee, an open show with big money on the line. You got it. Big money Matt Hirschman makes it tow down from Pennsylvania. Cashes the nice check as his MO. Put the big money on the line. The guy comes through darn near every single time. All right, let's hop off that, get onto my soapbox here. Where do we want to begin? Well, my racing career somewhat started in the short track, so I'm going to start in the short tracks tonight. The online debate, cooler debate, bench racing debate, come about this for several years now. The North-South Shootout in Concord, North Carolina, on the pavement half mile versus the World Finals at the dirt track at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. We talk about this bench racing a lot, and I heard both sides of the argument over the weekend. There's a date overlap for these two events. I asked about it on the Facebook page, on the show's Facebook page, Speedway Report page, and got some interesting discussion going. Here's what I'm looking at here, just in the basic here, is we have two big events, one on pavement, one on dirt. They're both in Concord, North Carolina. Annual races over at the half mile, the North-South Shootout features the pavement modifieds, NASCAR Tour style, as well as the Pass Super Late models, several support classes as well. The SK Mods have a big race from the Northeast. They come down. There's some mini stocks, some Chargers, limited late models, what have you. It's about a two-day show. They sometimes do three if they throw in a Thursday practice. But it's one of the bigger races of the year. Great race, good event. And it happens frequently on the calendar year, the same time, just across town, also in Concord, near the Charlotte Motor Speedway. The dirt track hosts the World of Outlaws World Finals. We just talked about that. Big event, the sprint cars, the late models, and the big block mods. Now, you got these two events, same town, two different short tracks, same time. Now, there was a date change for these in 2016. The World of Outlaws World Finals were moved up a week, so actually ran the last weekend in October. The North-South Shootout for the pavement cars ran the first weekend in November. Different dates, all was good. But for many years before that, they often hit on the same date. They were back to that in 2017. To me, I see these two events working together. Other points were made on Facebook, but I do want to talk about this. It just seems like a short track racing is such a struggle right now that anything you can do, little things like this to help them, you should do it because it is such an uphill battle for short tracks. However, you look at the thin crowd that attended the race at Concord on the pavement side, and this massive three-day darn near sellout of these massive grandstands at the dirt track, and the dirt fans are definitely coming from all over the country to see these guys race. They travel from the Midwest, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana, what have you, for their sprint car late model guys, and a lot of guys come down from New York for the modifieds, and late models are popular here in the Southeast anyway. This really is a draw and a fantastic event. It's the pavement side of it definitely does not pull anywhere near the crowd. The dirt side does, and here were the conflicting opinions on this. Me, I'll start with mine. I think they should be split. I don't think they should be on the same weekend. I think you make local race fans choose. No one comes down from Indiana, let's say, as a sprint car fan that comes to the World Finals and heads across town to the pavement side to see the modifieds in the super late models. They just don't do that. However, it does work in reverse. The guys that come down from the Northeast to see the pavement modifieds will shoot over to the dirt track to try to catch the World of Outlaws. It's definitely a one-way street. I think they should be separated on separate weekends. But a few guys chimed in, said, no, this works for a good reason. The crowd, as I pointed out, at the Concord pavement track is smaller and weaker than the dirt track by far, but they will draw, they wouldn't want to tap into those dirt fans that are here, you know, in town. There's 15,000 dirt fans over at the track. The pavement guys do want to take a swing or take an attempt to draw some of those fans over to the pavement side. The pavement show was moved up on Saturday afternoon. It green flagged at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and they moved the super late model race and the modified race to the first two events on the schedule to try to give fans the time to split after the mods, shoot over to the dirt track, still catch the World of Outlaw races. Of course, the support classes, you're left to fend for yourselves, so to speak. it doesn't work in reverse that the dirt guys come on over to the pavement sides. They just don't draw. But none other than Steve Post from Motor Racing Network chimed in. LJ Alimo chimed in from Massachusetts up in the Northeast, a good modified follower. And they like it, the fact that they're both on the same weekend. LJ, if he were to come down here from the Northeast, he would like one trip down here, check out the pavement modifieds and beat feet over because he doesn't to the dirt track because he doesn't get a chance to see the World of Outlaws that much. I get that. I understand that. Steve Post said there's 15,000 dirt fans. Let's try to tap into that. Try to boost the pavement event. Okay, I see that. What about a Sunday afternoon race as a big modified super late model doubleheader, taking away from the dirt race altogether, which takes Thursday, Friday, Saturday night? They ixnayed that, said that, well, now guys got to work, so you schlep back up north. You know, Sunday afternoon you race, then you got to get back up north on Monday to work. I understand that as well. Not a good idea. However, what if we shifted the dates? Because like I said when I started, aren't we practicing on Thursday with the modifieds here? Why don't we just move that to a Friday or make it a two-day show? Would that solve the problem? I think it would be better. Local fans need to choose. You know, I understand I talked about the Indiana fan, the Ohio fan. They're not going to come over to the Concord track necessarily. They may be able to draw into that, but the pavement fans will go to the dirt track. So, you know, if you adjust the times, adjust the dates, local fans have to choose. We're not going to decide one way or the other. Neither of these events are cheap to get into either, might I point that out. So it's not like money's flowing. I think they would be worth while splitting the dates, put them to two separate ones. I understand their point of view of keeping them on the same weekend. I think it hurts it more than helps it, my two cents. David Carden, Facebook fan of the show, states an interesting point as well. They're two different fan bases, which I talked about here for a little bit. Are there? I think. Yes, maybe. Yeah, on the dirt side, yeah. The dirt guys are coming down. They're going to the dirt track. Pavement, no. They'll come down for the pavement modifieds. Then they will go to the dirt race. So I think it's a one-way street. I don't think it's a two-way street. Hopping off the short tracks, I'd like to, you know, let me finish up this. Concord and dirt track, please. Patrick Reynolds from Speedway Report says move them. Let's move them on separate weekends. I think you would get a better crowd at the pavement race to help the pavement modifieds. I don't think it would affect the dirt track crowd one iota. Everybody that want to go that will come down, attend that, head back home. Pavement guys, they're going to come down, attend that, but they won't be able to see the dirt racing. But it could bolster the local attendance because there are local fans here that do need to choose from one to the other. That's where the pavement cars could get the boost. Off the short tracks, onto the big track super speedways. Fisticuffs. Yeah, we had some at the Xfinity race. Brendan Gaughan and Ross Chastain. Happened during the Saturday night Xfinity Series race. They got mad at each other, more along the lines of Gaughan was mad at Chastain. I did not see the race Saturday night, so I can't say eyeball enough to comment on the incident. But whatever, Gaughan was pissed off at Chastain. So Gaughan gets over after the race, gets out in, you know, it's through the garage area. These guys are getting out of the cars in the garage area. Gaughan and his guys go over to Chastain, you know, with whatever happened on the racetrack. Gaughan talked a little bit about this on Sunday afternoon on the radio and said essentially he had had enough of Chastain. Wasn't the first time he had gotten into it with the guy. Other drivers had gotten into it with him as well. So this was an ongoing problem that had been happening. Well, fisticuffs lead to one or the other. Report had it, not confirmed by me, but report had it that Chastain has a black eye. His car chief or his crew chief had a slug in the face too. So I won't comment on the piece on the track because I looked for video and I tried to find out what happened. Did not see any, couldn't find it. Now, I've met both of these guys and I want to talk candidly here. Brendan Gaughan, I've seen him lose his temper before. Nice enough fellow to me though. Did meet Ross Chastain once and be honest with you, I wanted to kick his ass when I met him. It was several years ago. I was working here in town, working for a parts supplier. He came in, had a little bit of a smart mouth on him, was a smart mouth little punk. I was thinking to myself, boy, I was professional to him. I was polite to him. But guy to guy, I wanted to slap him upside his head. He was a little bit of a punk. And I don't blame Gon from what I knew to the guy. There were other guys I worked with. They saw it too. They experienced it. And the reputation around here is we know what Chastain is. He's kind of like that. Young guy, smart mouth. I could see Gon getting pissed off at him and wanting to take a swing at it. Heck, I consider myself a good Christian guy, and I know that's not the answer or the solution to these problems, but yeah, I would be lying to you if the first thought that didn't come across my head is, man, I want to kick this kid's ass. He's a smart-mouthed little punk. I had it with him. Nothing happened at that time. This was years ago, and I read between the lines with what Gon was saying on air, on radio. Yeah, I could easily see where Brendan Gon was coming from, and he comes up, and Chastain's coming out of his car. At some point, we all get pushed far enough where it's time to take action. And Gon did. And fists were flying. They took some swings. And there we go. So I read about that, and I wasn't the least bit surprised from what I know. These are things you know about guys, but you don't, you know, it's not necessarily stuff you write about. But when stuff like this happens, it's like, yeah, you know, I recall that, and I know it real well, and it's kind of tattooed like a number on the dashboard. And some other guys that I know have seen it as well. And when I heard that Chastain took a fist to the face, there were a couple of guys that nodded and said, yeah, I could see that. And that's what we talk about here in Mooresville around all these guys. You get to know these guys a little bit. And a lot of them have TV switches when the camera goes on or the radio switch. They're sweethearts on the air, but off the air when they get into real life, yeah, some of them are wonderful and some of them are jerks just like all of us. So there you go. Brendan Gaughan, Ross Chastain. Sock it to him there, dude. Speaking of guys getting mad at each other, second place runner in the cup race yesterday. Or did he finish second or third? Anyway, Martin Truex Jr. I heard about this. Did not know if it was that big of a deal. But he had some rough words for Trevor Bayne yesterday. Called out the six car, being lap traffic, being in the way every week. Called them some names. I get that, especially in the heat of the moment when we're getting, you know, you're in the car, you're on the radio right there. We all run our mouths. All these race drivers do. I certainly would, likely. That's where you vent. We just talked about it with Gon and Chastain. But One of my Twitter followers, Ellen at Eleanor1054, really went off and said, Patrick, why don't you tell Truex to shut his mouth a little bit? Talking too much smack about Trevor Bayne, called Bayne a dummy in her regard. Well, this brought up a topic today. Possibly NASCAR may look at minimum speed and how many, maybe tighten that up a little bit. There is a minimum speed cars have to reach to be on the racetrack and continue on. Obviously Bayne was, but lap cars, hey, we were all fans of Jimmy Means and Buddy Arrington and J.D. McDuffie years ago. They were the heroes and their big foundation of this fan base on Racers Reunion. They were lapped cars every single week when I was growing up, but we still loved these guys. Now, we can blame lap traffic. Obviously, Eleanor1054, my follower on Twitter, she's not happy with Martin Truex Jr. Yeah. When you say stuff like that in the car, over the radio, screaming and yelling, so what? I tend to give guys a pass when it comes to things like that. But he did not have some kind, you know, he didn't have any kind words for Trevor Bayne. Talked about him a little bit. I understand, Ellen, where you're coming from. However, I'm going to give Truex a pass. If you're keying the mic in the car, you want to win the race, you lose. You want to talk about lap traffic. I get it. You know, I understand that. But I thank you for your input. I need a little clarification by where she was coming from. I didn't see it that big a deal, but some people did about the lap cars. And while I talk about lap cars, I'm not going to side with Truex on this one. I understand him keying the microphone. But hey, you know, we're all fans of, you know, the Buddy Arringtons and the Elmo Langleys of the world. They were lapped cars a lot of their career when the Petties and the Pearsons and Yarbroughs came flying by. I love them all, but I knew where guys were racing for 25th. That meant a lot to them to race for that. I don't know where Bayne was, but he's got a right to fight on the stay on the lead lap and fight for his position. Certain places on the field, a 13th place finish can mean enough to one team as a win would mean to another team. So, you know, I get that. A hot topic with some people, not so much for me, but some of my followers certainly picked up on it and were tweeting me about it today. And I want to talk, before we head on out of here tonight, a tip of the hat to a guy that sometimes can take abuse, a track operator, track promoter. When things go right, nobody says anything. When things go wrong, they get screamed, yelled at, and a finger pointed at them. Eddie Gossage yesterday at the Texas Motor Speedway made a late race decision. He altered the victory lane yesterday. As we all know, familiar with the Texas Motor Speedway, they've got big flames coming off victory lane. They got the big cowboy hat, and the winner fires a couple of six shooters in the air to celebrate Texas. With the church shooting yesterday in Texas, Eddie Gossage, you know, put down the revolvers yesterday. They were not part of victory lane ceremonies. Thought it was out of place. That is a tough call to make. That's a tradition for the track. Gossage is a big conservative and a Second Amendment supporter. I understand where he's coming from, but he did the right thing yesterday as well. Just that moment, that time, your location, that victory lane celebration, all the cards lined up. You made a late race decision. You pull it out of your hip pocket. Eddie Gossage, I think you did the right thing yesterday. I'm a supporter for what you're doing, and that situation there yesterday, wise choice. Let's have the cowboy hat. Let's have the trophies that day. That's just how it is. And a smart move by the folks at Texas Motor Speedway. And with that, we will offer our prayers to everyone down in Texas for yesterday's horrible shooting. No politics tonight, but certainly thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in Texas. And yeah, we mean that, and those words still mean a lot to me. Folks, in between a broadcast, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. The Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, you just click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show and archived programs. We also have columns posted from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me. Teddy Christopher and Sports Cars are recent story headlines. Check them all out at SpeedwayReport.com. Thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work this evening. Jeff and the Racers Reunion family will be back tomorrow, Tuesday night, at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. And don't forget Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. So good to be part of your family. Did you tune in late, or would you like to catch a rebroadcast of Speedway Report? We can be viewed on demand. Yeah, on demand. SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and the Speedway Report Facebook page, as all of our shows are archived. I want to thank all of the military past and present for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday with news from NASCAR's triple header in Phoenix, the NHRA finale from Pomona, Formula One in Brazil, and racing's hot topics. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.
And what I did. and I'm going to get well. I'm going to take a taxi over there, and I'm going to slap the piss out of Paco.
He sold whiskey for years. I mean, for years and years.
He must have been good stuff.
Taste that